I welcome all of you that have come for a share concerning the halachos of Pesach, and it's particularly noteworthy that the OU has undertaken this. It's an opportunity of those that are in the city for business purposes to be able to make use of their lunch hour for learning Torah as well, certainly very noble. And furthermore, I'm really excited, really, to be the one to inaugurate this program. And I wanted first, before I considered a number of the halachas, to give a contextual approach to the Isur of Chametz altogether. What exactly? We know its association with Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the Yontif of Pesach is a very remarkable insight from the Meshech Chochma in his Haggadah concerning this, bases it upon a Yerushalmi. And he notes that Yerushalmi indicates that Chometz was an integral component of the Avodah Zarah. How and in what way? He says the Yerushalmi is not very specific. It doesn't give us an entire description of the service of the Avodah Zarah. But it does indicate to us that Chometz was a necessary component of their Avodah. From that standpoint, we understand that Pesach, which is Rashi tells us in Chumash, Mishchu ukhulachem tzoinim parshas bo, and in one of the interpretations that Rashi gives us, is Mishchu yideichem and Avodah Zarah, our forefathers in Mitzrayim, or halalu ovdei avodah zarah, or halalu ovdei avodah zarah, as the Malachim declared. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes before us for the first time, and he implores us to engage in the Korban Pesach, the first thing that he tells us is, Mishchu yideichem and avodah zarah, separate yourselves, remove yourselves from your involvement in avodah zarah. And thus, Rameya Simcha says, that is the essential aspect of the Isur Chometz on Pesach, is our removal, in fact, from the culture of Mitzrayim. It's not merely incidental that we ate matzah and we don't eat chometz, but the fact that we limit ourselves to matzah and do not indulge in chometz was part of severing ourselves and distancing ourselves from the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. An entirely different insight into where the Isur Chometz is coming from, and he bases this upon a Yerushalmi. It happens to be, it corresponds with a statement of the Rambam and Sefer HaMoira as well. In the beginning of Chumash Vayikra, we have a law in the Torah, Ki chol sor v'chol dvash lo satiru memenu ish al Hashem, that fruits and chometz cannot be used as karbonos on the Mizbeach. And the Ramban, in his commentary on Chumash, cites the Rambam and Sefer HaMoira, where the Rambam tells us that the reason that we may not involve these two things, Sa'ir and Vash, in the Avodah and the Migdash, was because these were Midarke of the Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Rabbeinu Shalom has absolutely banned them from any participation in the Avodah and the Migdash. So in fact, the Rambam does record for us this same notion that the Rameya Simcha drew from the Yerushalmi, that Sa'ir was an integral aspect of the service of the Avodah Avodah Zarah, and therefore, it is not only on Pesach, but in the Migdash, there's a general Isur that there may be no hakrova, no chometz may be brought on the Mizbeach. There is chometz in the Migdash, but not on the Mizbeach. We have Lachmei Teido, we have Shtei Alechem, but neither one of them are brought on the Mizbeach. And the Rambam tells us this also is to distance ourselves in the Migdash, in the Mokum, which is particularly set aside for our Avodah throughout the year, that chometz can play no role. So it's an entirely different aspect, an insight into the Isur chometz. From that standpoint, we understand something else as well. If we follow the halachic parallels between the Isur of Avodah Zarah and the Isur chometz, there are many. We start off with the fact that most Isurim in the Torah are Isur Surei Achila, prohibit us from eating things. There are very few, in fact, which also include an Isur Hanah as well. There are some, but very few. Chometz on Pesach is from the Yisurei Hano. Similar, in fact, to Avodah Zarah. A Dovra Nikra, something which is used as a sacrifice, in a sacrificial aspect, in Avodah Zarah, is no bittul to such an object, whatever it may be. And it's interesting that in Hilchos Pesach, that even though Midoraisa, there is bittul after Shisha, but Midrabanan, in fact, according to most Shitas, other than really the Shitas HaShultas, that there is no bittul for Chometz. Chometz is also even B'mashu on Pesach. We find similarly, when it comes, for example, to Yayin Nesach and Avodah Zarah, there's a restriction, and we're going to come to this soon in the Halachas of Pesach as well, of Osur L'Histaker, that one cannot even indirectly engage in benefit, financial benefit, from dealing in those things which are associated with Avodah Zarah and Yayin Nesach. And this is an entire issue, again, unique to the Iser of Chometz on Pesach, the how far we are restricted from involving ourselves in any conceivable benefit. And I'll begin in Simen Tov Nun, Siv Dalet, that here we find a situation where there was a partnership, Yisrael Shehoyelo Tanur, and those were offered were Einam Yehudim Chometz B'Pesach. So the Jew owned the oven, and the non-Jews had a right to bake Chometz in it, and they came and they baked Chometz in it on Pesach. And they want to pay him for the use of his oven. There's Afilu Mos, also the Kabul B'Shorah. Now again, he has no association with the Chometz. The Chometz was not his in the first place. He was not involved in the baking process. He's not involved with eating it afterwards. They are merely paying him for the use of his facilities. His bakery is closed on Pesach. So they came and said, listen, we'll use your ingredients and we'll bake bread. And we'll pay you for the use of the facility for the week. Is Afilu Mos, also the Kabul B'Shorah. And we have, why? The Havalei Mistaker B'Yisurei Hano. Because he's benefiting from Yisurei Hano. He had no ownership. He was not involved in a business sense. He did not go through his hands in the least, but there's been no transaction. Merely paid for the use of his facility, and this is also included Havalei Mistaker B'Yisurei Hano. The Halacha though states, from Kibuk for Hamois, that if he's already accepted the money, in other words, he erred halachically and he accepted payment for it. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, is since he's not really directly benefiting from Chometz, rather indirectly, so there's no prohibition after the fact. And this is very unique, as I mentioned, to the Isra of Chometz. We do not find such an association other than by Yayin Nesach and Avodah Zarah that there is such a halacha. And the Shulchan Aruch continues in that regard, that if a person that owns the bakery wants to rent his facilities to a non-Jew for Yontif, then it has to be a menashe yefo bo matzah. He tells the non-Jew, you can have him make a matzah bakery in my facility, but you cannot make a bread bakery. Ve'im yefo chometz, if the non-Jew violates the agreement and he makes chometz on the premises, ein zokut lo, then that is not his particular problem. And this stems again, since that one may not benefit from Yisurei Hano, so I cannot rent him the facility either to use for Chometz, and certainly when the assumption is that he is going to bake bread, and therefore I have to tell him beforehand that I'm renting it to him specifically to bake kosher Pesach items, no Chometz items. If he violates the agreement, I'm not beholden to that fact, to that after the fact. But again, that one should not be directly involved in benefiting from Yisurei Hano. I cannot even rent him the facility without stipulating beforehand that in a situation where there's a reasonable expectation or probability that he's going to use it for Chometz, I have to stipulate that he may not use it for Chometz before I enter that type of association. Now we find later a very fascinating halacha. Following up from this is Osur L'Hasker Kli L'Eino Yehudi. I cannot rent him something with Pesach Kedei Sheyivashu Bo Chometz, if it's the type of item where he's likely to make Chometz in it, then I may not rent it to him. And this has an entirely different notion in the Halacha. This is besides the fact we've talked about until now, but also the Staker B'Yisurei Hano. Because as we'll see in the moment, the Shulchan Aruch in this particular Sif is not consistent with the view that he cited before earlier that one should not benefit from Isuriano, even though the halacha remains like the earlier halacha, but the Shulchan Aruch introduces us to a new concept. And that is, the Isur of Chometz is so stringent, if I rent something to a non-Jew, and forgetting the rental for the moment, let's put that to the side. Now he's cooking Chometz in it. I own a brewery and he's brewing beer. Now I have a vested interest in the beer that he's brewing remaining in the vats. Why? Because if the vats were to run dry, then the fire would cause them to crack. And therefore, this is a halacha that we say is called rotz of a kiyumo. The fact that I want the chametz around, for me personally, at this moment, it's serving a particular need. And the fact that he has chametz here, and that is that my equipment will not self-destruct because of the fact that his chametz is here, this is another aspect of the Isra of Chometz, rotz of a kiyumo, a very unusual aspect. Now the Shulchan Aruch follows through in this regard, following the view that he's discussing presently, I have a maskelo chamor lehovi alof chometz. But I can rent a donkey, or in that contemporary terms, a truck to someone if he's going to haul chometz on Pesach. And the reason for that, according to this view, because I have no concern whatsoever. If the chometz flies out of the truck, nothing's going to happen to my truck. So I do not need the chometz to exist. The Achronim, though, point out that consistent with the Shulchan Aruch earlier, that I may not rent equipment to be used for chometz, so I could not rent it to him, certainly in a situation when I'm aware that he's going to be using it for chometz, I could not, in fact, rent a truck to him to be used for this. Now, what emerges, there's a halacha earlier in Siman Tov Mem that if I have responsibility for chometz, even though I don't own the chometz, and there, in fact, there are a number of views in the Shulchan Aruch itself concerning what the level of that responsibility has to be. According to the first view in the Shulchan Aruch, if I'm responsible for geneva or aveda, meaning theft, a loss, then I have responsibility, I'm considered as a person that's over by Yerah, by Yimotzeh. In fact, because we do learn, we derive from a posuk, the Gemara Psochem in the first parak, that if I have responsibility, financial responsibility for a non-Jew's chometz, and it's upon the rests in my premises that I would violate by Yerah, by Yimotzeh for such chometz. The second view, there is a view in the Shulchan Aruch which states that if I'm not responsible for theft or loss, merely only for the negligent loss of it, that I would not violate this injunction. The Chofetz Chaim says the halacha is indeed according to the first view, and therefore even if I'm only responsible for negligent loss, it would also be a problem. Now, to come to contemporary terms, if I'm in the trucking business today, according to all the views in the Shulchan Aruch, I would not be allowed to truck chometz on Pesach. Because undoubtedly a common carrier is responsible for theft and loss. He cannot go back to the guy that he's working for and tell him, listen, I don't know what happened. The truck was open and it was stolen in Lower Manhattan. I don't know what happened to it. That's not going to wash. He'll be held accountable. At once he'll file an insurance claim, but that's his problem. So certainly a common carrier, when you engage to truck something for someone else in the contemporary world, there is a responsibility to prevent theft. And once there's a responsibility to prevent theft, then in fact I would violate by Yerah, by Yimotzeh. There's a further issue, and that is the Chofetz Chaim paskens, that in a situation, even if I have absolutely no responsibility at all, I take no responsibility for what will happen to these goods, I take no responsibility, I'm not accepting any pay. I'll truck them, I have a non-Jew who lives down the block from me, he needs a favor, so I'll tell him, listen, I have no responsibility for your chometz. It's a favor. I will not accept pay for it. And I'll truck it for you. That's also prohibited because on Pesach itself, one may not accept into his possession chometz even under such circumstances. So these are just some dimensions of how concerned we have to be, how far, in fact, the restrictions on the Isur of chometz go. There is also a halacha which is not very, very well known, I believe, and oftentimes improperly fulfilled. That we find at the very end of Siman Tov Mem Ches, that osur liten behem to leino Yehudi lachila b'mei Pesach. I have a pet, and for whatever reason, whether the pet normally eats chametz, or I'm going to be away, and I cannot engage in the care of this animal on my own. Consequently, I want to give it to an anjur, in whatever circumstance it may be, to take care of it, and I may not do so. If I know that the feed that's going to be used for it will be non-kosher Pesach feed, I cannot, in fact, place that animal in his care of Pesach. So this we need to factor in very carefully, because oftentimes people have difficulty with varied pets that they have, and they're not exactly sure the feed that they use throughout the year is chametz, and they don't have suitable non-chametz feed. So they would like, just very simply, they'll give it to their non-Jewish neighbor, and he'll keep it for them for the 10, whatever, the 8 days of Pesach, and they'll come back after Yontif and take it back for him. But if I'm aware that he's going to feed it chametz, I may not do so. The Chofetz Chaim relates the following, that accepted practices, that if I find no other solution for the care of this animal, for whatever the reason may be, then I have to sell it totally to the non-Jew and leave it to his responsibility to feed it, without being specific about what he's going to feed this particular animal. And he says, the Isra of Chometz goes even so far that if I would sell him the animal, and I sell him the feed too, he says, listen, you know, I'm glad to help you out, but I don't own a horse. So if you want to sell me the horse to take care of, fine, but sell me the feed too. So I'm selling him, in effect, the Chometz sticker feed plus the horse. Now, on Yontif, I will own neither of them. Nevertheless, that's prohibited. He says, if I wind up in a situation that the non-Jew who wants to care for the animal doesn't have the feed, he says, the only thing that I could do is to sell the feed to a different Jew, to a different non-Jew, and let him sell the feed, be a broker to sell the feed to the person that's taking care of the animal. Just some, how careful, and this is an area of care of pets. I mean, we're all familiar with the fact that we can't feed them chametz on Pesach. The question is what happens next? If we're not going to feed them chametz on Pesach, we are quite limited, in fact, in how we ought to be involved in placing the animal in the care of a non-Jew, in terms of the care that he can give to that animal on Pesach.
Why should it be
also
if you sell the animal, get that side of the comics, it's not your animal anymore, who cares if
it's sold? Because he says that it looks like a haroma. I mean, we have enough problems with Mechiras Chometz after all of these years. Is this exactly a legitimate sale or a $3 bill? Baruch Hashem, that the consensus has emerged over the Doris to consider it legitimate, but the whiff of skepticism which surrounds Mechiras Chometz hasn't ended. And apparently the Achronim were not willing to extend this to this area as well. And they said the fact that I'm going to sell them the animals in my barn, I'm going to sell them the animal, I'm going to sell them the barn and the feed, Sushmeknisht. You know, and here I guess in a way I'm more directly benefiting as well. By Mechiras Chometz, there's no benefit on Pesach which is accruing to me. It's only a question of the chometz shover alav Pesach after Pesach, which is a knas derabbanan. Whereas here I'm directly benefiting after it's my horse. And the guy will come back and tell me after Yontif that I didn't feed him and the horse is now expired and we buried him last week, is not going to be a pleasant set of circumstances. So obviously that's why there's a greater concern, because I am benefiting in fact from the chometz on Pesach itself. If you meant it really, B'leiv Sholem, that I presume would help too. But you really have to mean it, B'leiv Sholem. I mean, there is a person that I know, Rodem Choshev, who's extremely makpid in the sheet of the grove, not owning chametz on Pesach. And even when it comes to his whiskey, he will not maintain whiskey that he owns on Pesach. He packs it up in a box, and he gives it away to someone, whoever, that will accept it. But he absolutely means that you can drink it to your heart's content. He will not mind if you drain the bottles to the bottom and he never sees them again. Because he absolutely gives them away with Matana Gemura. If you give it back to him after the Yontif, he won't ask you for it back. If you give it back, he'll accept it. But when he gives it to you, he means it absolutely as a matana gemurah. You do what you want with it. Drain the bottles to the bottom, we'll be more than happy. Now, I wanted to turn my attention to halacha, which I believe is often very, very misconstrued in my view. And that is, we know that in fact, it's a gemara which is really in the first parak in Sochem. It is a siman in the Shulchan Aruch devoted to this halacha as well. And that is Simon Tov Membrov. Hamotzi Chometz Beveso. If after everything that we tried to get the Chometz out, but we still failed, Yom Tov comes along, and I find a piece of Chometz in the house. So what am I supposed to do? Now on Yom Tov itself, certainly assuming that we all did Bittul Chometz, so the Chometz is Mukta, so the Halacha states Koyful of Kli, I cover it over with some type of utensil, to remind me that this is something which is off limits for Yom Tov, and I leave it there. Once Chol HaMoed comes, then the halacha is Yivarenu Miyad, that I'm supposed to remove it from my premises and burn it. So, very simply, so if I'd wake up on the first day of Yom Tov, for example, and I find under the couch, the kids slip out the couch, and lo and behold, there's a piece of bread under the couch. So the halacha says I should take, let's perhaps a paper plate, I don't want to take a Pesach to go on, cover over the slice of bread, and leave it there. It's mukts, I can't do anything with it. Comes the first night, Motzei Yom Tov of the first days of Yom Tov. So the Shulchan Aruch states that I'm supposed to take the chametz and burn it. Take it outside and burn it. However, I do not believe that halacha l'maaseh, that's correct. For a very, very simple reason. That we have mechiras chametz nowadays. Now, I didn't know anyone that decided on the first night of Chol HaMoed to go raid all the chametz that he sold to the non-Jew and schlep it all out in the street and burn it all up. I haven't found anyone yet that wants to indulge in such a practice. Now, it's quite self-evident that the shtar of the Mechiras Chametz is much more, in fact, for the chametz she'eini yadua than for the chametz yadua. I mean, many people in Machmer, they don't even sell chametz that they know that they own. So what do they sell chametz for? Why do I sell chametz personally? I don't keep chametz gomer, I don't keep him basil. So why do I sell chametz? I sell chametz for the chametz she'eini yadua. Because maybe there's some chametz in my house that I've overlooked and I didn't get rid of. That's why I sold it. And the shtaros typically state, as the one that I use states, that wherever the chametz, despite all the addresses and places that I write in, but b'chol makom she'eim, wherever the chametz may be found, above and beyond any places that are enumerated in the shtar. So that means that the slice of bread under the couch was sold to the non-Jew on Erev Yom Tov together with the rest of the chametz that's in my kitchen cabinet. Now, if that's the case, so why in the world should I take the goy's chametz on the first night of Chol HaMoed and take it out into the street and burn it? I believe, if I recall, that I found subsequently that Ritzi Pesach Frank as well also, I believe, came to this conclusion. I believe so. Yeah, I believe there's such... I mean, in all honesty, as chata'ah ani masker hayom, I've tormented many rabbonim over the years with this question, rabbonim from all over the world, and until I finally came to the conclusion that the answer to the question is that you're not supposed to burn it. And you should pick it up on Chol HaMoed and put it away with the rest of the locked chometz and lock it up. Excuse me? What stealing? If I burned it, it's geneva. Masik, Geneva, depending how you learn the Sugi and Baba Kama, that if I take something and I throw it into the Yam, if it's the Machlokes or Rishonim, shot in the Gemara and Baba Kama, Tzadik Ches, whether it's Gezel or Masik, they're very cheetahs Rishonim. Rashi learns that it's Gezel, in fact. So this is a halacha, I believe, that's been broadly misconstrued. I mean, we failed to factor in how ubiquitous Bechiras Chometz has become. That there's probably no Jew that's a self-respecting Jew that does not engage in Bechiras Chometz. And this is relatively a recent arrival in the Jewish scene. It probably is not, I don't doubt that 2 centuries ago that it was true, and certainly not much more than that. Yes?
I've read that Rav Shlomo Zalman is of the opinion that if you don't know of any chametz in your possession, then you would have to sell the new shekels to the agent in
Jerusalem. I don't know why, unless he's concerned that maybe you're not making a mechira altogether, so it's a haroma. Usually there's some things that all of us want to sell that are at least a chashash chametz on them. So it is not a haroma, and we're non-specific in terms of the sale. as I say, I don't know. Other than that, I would think it's a very wise thing because of the fact that the biggest problem we're likely to have is more with chometz she'eini yaduah than with chometz yaduah. Yeah, the bittul, the difference, I'll come to bittul in a moment. Bittul is not so efficacious. Why do I say that bittul is not so efficacious? The Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Tov Mem Ches of Dalet, based on a Yerushalmi. Suppose, listen, I decided I don't want to be bothered with Mechiras Chometz. And I have no problem being mevatel whatever chometz that I own. Right? I threw out all the chometz yedua that I have. I don't have any chometz yedua. The chometz any yedua, if I had it, I would throw it out. So I have no problem being mevatel it. So I'll get up and I'll make the bittul at Erev Yontif, and it's bottle. Now comes after Yontif, and I find a piece of chometz. Is it mutabano or sabano? We would all think it's mutabano, but the Shulchan Aruch and Tof Sim and Tof Mem Ches and the Rishalmi say it's osabano. What's the reason for it? It's because bittul ultimately is a slippery slope. And that's probably, I presume, that the reason in Shitas Rashi, in the beginning of the Masechta, that, as the Ran explains Rashi, that there is more than one, there are two different ways of means of getting rid of chometz. That according to Rashi Shita, both bittul and bedika are both rooted in the halachos of the Torah itself. Which is, according to Tosis, not true. From Tosis' standpoint, the bittul is a deraisadika mechanism. The bedika is not a deraisadika mechanism. And there are those rishonim in the school of thought of Tosis that said, if I did only bedika's chometz and I failed, I would have no exemption of onus. In fact, I would be violated by your rabbi Yemotzi. You can look in the Tosis and Rabbeinu David in the beginning of Pesach. So I believe in Rashi's sheet that the fact that the Torah gave us two different means of ridding ourselves of chometz, of bittul and bedika, stems from the fact because each one has their drawbacks. Bedika has the drawback that I may not succeed. We are shkiyos miyoven, we are human beings and we err constantly. So I may in fact be not as thorough as I intend to be. And on the other hand, bittul, which does not lack the problem of thoroughness, but a person has to be b'leiv sholem. Person wants to be mevatel. It's very nice. I want to be mevatel, but I happen to be that I found a good single malt scotch that I forgot about. Do I really mean to be mevatel? It depends. It's not such an easy. It's a toss-up. Not so easy to discern the answer to that question, and that's probably the reason that the Torah gave us more than one means of ridding ourselves of chometz. And that's behind really the fact that even if I was mevatel chometz, it would still remain osur b'hano efti yontif. Because Rishami apparently says we should suspect ourselves that perhaps we were not mevatel b'leiv sholem. It's certainly perhaps on a communal basis to say that everyone, even if I'm a pious individual and I know myself, but to enact this as a standard, that everybody could just do bittul and not do mechiras chometz, not rid themselves of chometz, and all the chometz is going to be mutter b'hanoi efti yontif, is certainly going to open ourselves up to a very, very wide abuse. I mean, imagine that every supermarket that's here in the city of New York that's open for business on yontif, I'll put up a sign, I was mevatel the chometz before yontif. The chometz that I sold, I took that back when I sold it, but all the rest I was mevatel. The abuse which is inherent in that type of situation really is what the Rishalmi, I believe, has warned us about, and the halacha is incorporated in Siman Tov Mem Ches, that chometz, which I've gotten rid of solely by the means of bittul, remains osur b'hano efti yontif. Okay, I would open the floor to questions at this particular moment.
Before you open the floor, by this man. Yeah. I've known Rabbi Welcher as the Rav of Kew Garden Hills for 20 years, and he's a close Yadid of the Hirsch family. Rav Welcher has many qualities, but one thing that always stood out, if you come to the Beis Medrash on Shabbos by Shalosh Shudas, there are well over 100 people every Shalosh Shudas. And why do they come? Because Rabbi Welcher says, try to stump me. Ask any question you wish, but Welcher somehow has the answer. So the question and answer period is open right now.
Sam.
What's that soul that what do I have in mind? What am I thinking that I'm being mevatel and mafkir, knowing that everything?
Well, there are more. The question is that if I'm doing mechiras chametz, then really, what role does the bittul play? Now, the truth of the matter is, it's not really so. The answer is not so obvious what role the bittul plays. In fact, the Ramah records in the Shulchan Aruch that, according to the view of the Mechaber, it would suffice to do the bittul chametz before the end of the fifth hour, and I could do the sreifas of chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour. The Ramah demurs and states that we should not follow this particular view, but rather we should first do the bir chametz before the end of the fifth hour, and then end up with the bittul chametz again before the end of the fifth hour, so that the chametz that I burn is actually chametz which I'm obligated to burn because I own the chametz. Whereas if I did the bittul first, nevertheless, then I would not own the chametz, and therefore the chametz that I'm burning doesn't belong to me in the first place. It's hefker chametz. So I presume that the purpose of the bittul functionally today is probably only for one thing. Let me tell you a story and you'll understand exactly. I lived in Eretz Yisrael many times, Baruch Hashem. The first time that I lived in Eretz Yisrael, the year was Tovshin Choftes, a few years ago. And I will never forget the fact that I pick up the Ma'ariv one day. And in the Ma'ariv, there's a very fascinating story. And the story is that the Shabbos Goy of Bnei Brak had died. It was an Arab. He was the Shabbos Goy of Bnei Brak, and he died. Well, as it goes in Bnei Brak, even the Shabbos Goy is a Yid. Can't be otherwise in Bnei Brak. What happened? He was married to an Arab woman, and upon his death, she went to the Chevra Kedisha, and she divulged the fact that my husband was in actuality a Jew, and his request was that he be buried among the Jewish people. He wants to be buried in a Jewish cemetery. And lo and behold, the Chevra Kedisha investigated the matter and was absolutely true. Okay? Now, so just what happens if one day we wake up and the non-Jew that was selling the chametz to happens to wind up that he's a Jew? Then what do? That's why we do bittul chametz. Yeah, I believe he could to insure them. I mean, he's only a broker. The insurance is going someplace else, and it's also principally they're insured for other things. So I think when this, you're not only insured for truck and chametz. I mean, let's say a business only trucked chametz. So the question is what exactly the broker should do. It's a good question. I'm not gonna, attempt to answer on this, but it's an interesting question. Yeah.
Many times products come in case of that are homestick, as a promotional. And of course they would be homestick in case of when you get them, or you never get them. So what do you do when they come to the around case of?
Well, I think basically the following. The halacha states, let's first define what bittul chametz is and we'll go forward from there. Bittul chametz can have one of two possible meanings, and if one examines the text that we use for bittul chametz, we incorporate both. In the Rishonim we find the view of the Balei HaTosfos, the Ran and others, that bittul chametz is hefker. I renounce ownership, that's bittul chametz. There is a view cited by the Ramban that bittul is not a renunciation of ownership, but rather bittul is that I declare the fact that I have no use for chametz. It's insignificant to me. Now, why does this work halachically? Because of the fact, as the Gemara states, shtei dvarim einam reshuso shalodim, there are two things which principally a person does not own. And yet the Torah placed liability upon him for those things. And those things are barav reshus harabim. If I go downstairs on Broadway here, and I'll dig a ditch 35 feet square, and the next city bus that comes down the block falls into it. It actually did happen when I was a child. In fact, there was a huge ditch in the street and a milk truck went in totally, straight all the way in. And they'll come to me and they'll say, listen, I'm not the mayor of New York. I don't own the streets in New York. I wouldn't mind if I do, but I don't. So listen, go uptown a little bit, up Broadway there's Mayor Bloomberg, and go see his guys. You know, they own the streets in New York. So the Yatitara places responsibility upon me for that ditch as if I owned it. That's Barbara Shisarab. Avonani Chometz B'Pesach, I should also have no liability in terms of Bayiro, Bayimotzi, of ownership of Chometz, because he's Surei Ano, I do not own. And since it's Osir Bano, so it doesn't belong to me, so why am I responsible for it? Yet the Torah considers it as if I owned it, because of the fact that since I desire to have it, the Torah holds me accountable and liable for it. Thus, the Bittul Chometz is to state that I have no desire for it, and therefore the Torah does not return it to my ownership. Our text of the Bittul Chometz, in fact, if one looks at it carefully, contains both. Because we say, Libotol, will have a Hefker, Ke'afra the Ara. Now, Hefker is not Ke'afra the Ara. Hefker is Hefker. I don't own something. If I take, for example, if I have to do beer of Ma'is Hasheni, I take it out to the street and I'm after it. There's no din of have a Hefker, Ke'afra, it's not Ke'afra the Ara. I renounce my ownership of it. That's Hefker. The view of having Ke'afra the Ara is insignificant is the view of the Ramban and others that Bittul is not Hefker, but rather it's considering it, treating it as something unimportant that I don't desire. Our nusach of Bittul Chametz, in fact, incorporated both. The bottle will have a hefker ka'afra the hour. Now, consequently, Chametz, which I don't desire to own, and I don't do anything, in fact, to preserve for myself, in any regard, I cannot be liable for. So if something came to me on Chametz on Pesach, the first is I'm certainly not over by your role, by your motzi presently, because of the fact that I do not wish to own that chometz. So, bal korchach, against my will, I'm not going to own it. So, I do have to decide, though, that as soon as Chol HaMoed comes and it's no longer muktzah, I'm going to take it and pitch it out. Because if I don't pitch it out, that means I want the chometz, and then I will, in fact, first be responsible for it. But the fact that someone sent it to me is of no concern of mine in that regard.
We'll take one more question.
Well, again, this is a question which there's no absolute answer to, and the reason there's no absolute answer is because we do not have an absolute answer on the propriety of the Mechiras Chometz. Okay? The accepted view, let's start off with the halacha, before Chumras, it's important to know. The halacha is that the Mechiras Chometz is effective, it's halachically sound, I'm allowed to sell it, and I can use the things that I sold after base. That's the halacha. Now, in earlier times, in this country, for example, in the time of my grandparents, Aleihem HaShalom, you turn back the clock 70 years back in this country, 60 years back, where there were very few people in the grocery business who were frum, and there were many, many non-frum Jews in the grocery business, Chometz Shomer Lava Pesach was a very, very severe problem in the weeks following Pesach. And the common practice of Jews that lived in this country in that era was to buy the pasta and those type of things which they would use in the weeks immediately following Pesach, before Pesach, and then they would sell them so that they would know there was no problem with Chometz Shomer Lava Pesach. And in fact, there are certain retail establishments that I know today that when they're dealing with questionable vendors that they must use, they buy significantly so that they won't have to buy again until Shavuos time anything from this particular vendor. Now the question is, now that we've arrived at a point in time where perhaps this is not really our biggest problem, Baruch Hashem, we have a vibrant Jewish community, we have suitable frum vendors, we have many non-Jewish vendors. So we're not really confronted with this resolution of the problem. So the question then is, well, do we want to rely upon the Mechiras Chometz or not? And again, there's always been certainly a dissenting view. Now when the dissent, I mentioned to someone recently, the question in life is, you know, the old joke about the drill sergeant with Murphy. You know, the whole army is marching, and Murphy is marching. He's not in step with them. So he goes over, and Murphy says, I don't know what you want, Sergeant. He says, I'm in step. It's the other 1,000 guys that are out of step. But the question is, what happens when you're out of step with the rest of the world? So I said, most of the time, you're a Meshuggah if you're out of step with the rest of the world. But if your name is the Vilna Gaon, then it's the world that's perhaps out of step. And when the Vilna Gaon felt that the Mechiras Chometz was not something that should be engaged in, and there's a remarkable Chumrah. I don't remember if it's in the Maaser Rav or the Keser Rosh from Reb Chaim Volozhin, where he cites the Gaon. I don't remember which of the two it appears in. But the Gaon was in fact so machmer in terms of the Mechiras Chometz that not only wouldn't he sell Chometz for Pesach, but after Yom Tov, if he knew Chometz was sold, he would not benefit from that Chometz at all. That's how machmer the Gaon was in not accepting the Mechiras Chometz. So again, so what's the answer? The answer is it's a matter of Chumrah. We're not dealing with Mitzvah Adin. Chumras are a very personal dimension in the service of the Rebbeinu Shalom. I thank you very much.
Thank you again. Thank you again very much for coming.